The psalmist poetically pens, "Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen." In an article in yesterday's Washington Post titled, "Bible Gateway Searches Trend Toward Politics, End Times, and the Pandemic," Emily McFarlane Miller writes, "In the midst of a strange and stressful year, people turn to the same place they have for decades in their search for answers, the internet. But once online, many look to a much older source, the Bible. The reason, according to Jonathan Peterson of the Bible Gateway, a resource for searching the Bible, people were trying to find answers in this very difficult situation. The top word searches on their website were the usual love and peace. However, the biggest surprise was the fact that the word hope moved up to number 3 on the list." Peterson continued to say, "You could say people are looking for hope more this year than they have in the previous few years. We are looking for hope this year." PBS's Frontline this week followed the lives of several people throughout the country, beginning from the pandemic in March, the tensions over race relations that hit a zenith over the summer, and the political divide in our nation. The show relayed a sense of deep anxiety and worry about what we as individuals and as a nation will become following the end of the pandemic. What will be the future of our civil society? We are looking for hope this year. In his Works of Love, philosopher Soren Kierkegaard wrote, "When the eternal comes into contact with the temporal or the present, it becomes the future or the possible." When the eternal comes into contact with the temporal or the present, it becomes the future or the possible. Kierkegaard's reflection points us to a significant truth that is revealed in today's scripture. The first chapter of Mark is about a new beginning, hope for the future. In Jesus Christ, the eternal came in contact with the temporal in order to begin the work of recreation, the establishment of a kingdom that radiates hope amidst what is bleak, freedom amidst a feeling of defeat and shame, values centered on ordering our passions based on the love of God and neighbor, redemption and healing in the midst of the burdens we carry. Mark draws on lessons from the past. Approximately 700 years prior to Jesus, Isaiah, in the first lesson, speaks to those who are living in captivity by introducing the 40th chapter with the words comfort. Now, comfort is a bit misleading. To be comfortable, to lead a comfortable life, implies a certain stability in life, which did not exist for the community. The more accurate translation of the Hebrew rendering of that word is encourage or strengthen. The prophet is told to strengthen or encourage a kingdom as they face imminent destruction. Isaiah reminds them that all people are like grass, flowers fade away, cities fade away, nations fade away. Our lives will one day fade away. What is constant is the hope that God will rebuild and replant. It is the hope of resurrection in the form of recreation. The invitation is for humanity to learn the lessons of humility and trust. Upon return from exile, will they remain steadfast in those lessons, or will the community stray from them? We are all looking for hope this year. And we've been given the possibility. Remember, when the eternal comes in contact with the temporal or the present, it becomes the future or the possible. The work of the Holy Spirit is that of creation, of recreation. Our desire is for this extended exile or this winter to end. At the same time, 2 Peter reminds us that time is measured not by our timetable, but is measured by eternity. Peter writes to the church, "With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, but is patient." Beloved, there is no question that this exile will end. It may not seem like it, but it will. The questions for us are, what will happen when the pandemic is declared over? A vaccine becomes widely available, and herd immunity has been achieved. Will there be a remarkable change in the world? Will we continue to live in the memories of what we have been through and look to the past through rose-colored glasses? Or are we willing to work towards allowing a sense of eternity, eternity's moral values, to shape our reality in this world? Advent is a time where we prepare ourselves for the coming of the King, or what we call the Incarnation. Incarnation reveals that God is not only out there, but in Jesus, the eternal intervenes into the temporal to make the future possible. The world is searching for hope. And the reality is that we as Christians know what it means to be people of hope. In the words of Brian Stevenson, author of the book Just Mercy, "Hope is humanity's superpower." Hope is our superpower. If our call as disciples of Jesus is to proclaim through word and deed the hope of Christ's death, birth, ministry, and resurrection, what part are you willing to play once we come out of exile? Restoration necessitates the action of humans to discern the will of God and to work towards the defeat of all forces that negate life. What will be your part in offering hope to a world, a nation, a city that is so desperately searching for it? May this prayer by Theodore Parker Ferris keep us all focused on hope. Let us pray. Our lives are not always easy, O God. And we ask for strength to meet the difficult things that the days may bring to us. Open our eyes to the shining things that lie ahead of us. Help us to put the past behind us and pour all our energies into the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes always steadfastly on Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.